What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Alpha's Creed. Today, I got a real badass motherfucker on this podcast sitting across from me at this table. And by the way, you are now officially the first guest to be in the new studio.
Let's go. Some honors here, baby.
So welcome, my man.
I appreciate it.
Now, normally on my episodes, I usually kind of actually go into kind of an overview of who this person is, but I actually think I do a terrible job of doing that because I think I give stuff away. And that's what in my podcast, you said you've heard some before. I kind of give an overview, but I think I kind of give it away too soon. And like, I do a bad job of explaining it. So I'd rather just start, especially from like this new idea of these episodes, is I just want to hear it from the horse's mouth from here on out. Right. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I will at least tell everybody, this is Devin Johnson, the man. And I don't want to tell you just a couple. Let me just tell you actually one thing. It's hard to resist. This dude has one of the fastest growing platforms in the world. And you know, like I could say in social media, in fintech, you know, I'm just telling you right now, I'm not trying to get into the weeds here. I want him to explain it. But what he's doing is truly incredible. I mean, in any business, if you are in any sort of, you know, B2C contacting business or prospecting business, it is changing the game. And that's, well, I'll leave it right there. We're going to get into this. Devin, thanks for coming on, brother.
I appreciate it, man. So I'm excited to riff a little bit and talk everything from business to, you know, cars and lifestyle, baby.
We're going to talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about.
I like
this
that.
Bad boy. Yeah, this is going to be good. Go. But number one thing I want everyone to hear, because it's something I actually want to hear,
right?
Because you and me have only met twice in person.
Yeah. Yep.
We've talked over Instagram a little bit, but we've only met each other twice. This is our third time in person, right? First time was at AlphaCon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your story, bro? Because obviously I want you to talk about what you've accomplished and where you're at, because that's just unheard of, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you're planning an exit, but I can already see what that could potentially look like. But give me the rundown. What's your story? What made you who you are today, brother?
Yeah, so, you know, I grew up in a divided household out in Indianapolis, Indiana. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad were never married. Oh. And, you know, I was the accident child, right? They say I wasn't, but, like, one thing led to another. And, you know, growing up, mom and dad were never married, and my dad spent the first 10 years in federal prison.
No shit.
Doing an armed robbery with his brother. So one thing my mom did really good, though, is she let me have a relationship with my dad. She would take me to see him in state penitentiary. So
you're kidding.
I have probably 50 pictures of me and my dad doing the prison pose. So if anybody's listening to this and knows what the prison pose is, it's when you're down and you're out like this.
Yeah.
In front of some awful mural that you take pictures in front of inside of prisons.
Right.
But, you know, my dad, you know, he's quite the character. But, you know, as soon as he got out of prison, I was 12 years old. I was over at his house, and I pulled down a laundry basket, and 2 pounds of weed fell out.
Oh, no shit. 2 pounds.
2 pounds. Like,
yeah.
So laundry
That's
basket.
A lot. Yeah.
Sealed up, wrapped up.
Yeah.
So if anybody's, you know, has seen a pound of weed, it's
which
wrapped
no
up
one here
tight.
Has done that.
Well, anyways, these 2 pounds of weed fall out, and
that's a lot.
So he sat me down. He's like, "Your dad's a street pharmacist. Mm. You know, your mom, she's the hard worker that she is. My mom was a factory worker all my life.
Wow.
And And I'm not proud of it, but this is what I know. This is where I come from. I come from the streets. I run the streets. I make my money in the streets. Mm-hmm. Don't glorify it. Don't look up to it. Mm. But this is the truth. Mm. And so I grew up in two worlds. My dad was the entrepreneur that he was and the way that he was.
Sure.
You know, made it happen by any means. And then my mom was the day-to-day, 9-to-5, stay in school, get good grades, stay in sports, you know, very grounded. And again, my dad never let me glorify the streets, right? That was one thing I really respected him for. And I talk in past tense. My dad actually passed away when I was 21 from a heroin overdose. That's why you hear past tense as I'm telling that story.
But heroin, that takes so many lives.
It's the devil.
Yeah.
It's literally the devil in powder form.
Yeah, that's right. It's poison,
And, you know, and so, you know, growing up was unique, but at 15, a major life challenge presented itself when my sister got diagnosed with medulloblastoma brain cancer.
Oh, shit.
So it's brain cancer that
How old was she?
She was 7 years old when she was diagnosed.
Oh, my gosh.
Within 12 hours of knowing that it was cancerous, she was into a 14-hour surgery.
And it was so, that bad. They wanted to get her under that quick.
Yeah, yeah. She had a 1% chance of full recovery. So fast forward a little bit. My sister's still with us. She has beat the cancer. She's awesome. In remission.
Awesome.
Boyfriend, graduated high school, got a job, you know, all of the normal living stuff besides the side effects. But when that happened, my dad admitted he was struggling with opioid addiction and then went ghost for a year.
Yeah.
And so my mom, her job immediately let her go. She was a manager at a warehouse for Walmart. And due to her having to move into the hospital, they're like, well, you're only as good as you can stack boxes or manage stacking boxes. She was a manager. And they let her go. They terminated her. And so here I am. My dad's out of the picture. My mom's living in the hospital. And she's transparent. She's like, hey, we've got several months to get by. And then you're going to have to live in the Riley home, which was this really nice homeless shelter inside the hospital for kids and families that couldn't afford the care plus, you know, normal life. And I was like, man, this is going to suck. I'm going to lose my friends. I'm going to move to inner city schools. You know, we lived in suburbs and whatnot.
Right.
And so I started selling shoes, Nikes, Jordans, Yeezys. That's where I started. I was 15 years old. And I knew about sneakers because my dad always had hundreds of pairs of shoes. Mm-hmm. Always loved them, obsessed over them.
Yeah.
And the sneaker game was really becoming popular at that time. Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah, yeah. Travis Scott, Fragment Lows. Yeah, still a big sneakerhead.
Yeah, there you go. Good.
Yeah, that part never left, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I started by flipping sneakers. One of my first flips was LeBron 9 All-Stars. Mm. So these solid orange. They're called Big Bangs. Mm. And then, I bought the shoes for retail, flipped them for double right there on the spot. I was like, all right, this is a way. Mm-hmm. And so I started reselling sneakers. Mm. Started a trade show as soon as I got a scooter. Mm. Our first form of transportation was a scooter.
Yes.
A Toto 50.
Naturally.
Google a Toto 50. It's horrendous.
Okay.
I bought this thing. I was so proud of it.
Yeah.
I was driving it. I was coming down a hill, and the mirror fell off, dude. The first day I bought it. I'm riding it. This freaking Toto 50 is like holding on with shoestrings and glue.
Yeah.
And the mirror falls off. Mm. And anyways, so I started a little trade show called Indy All-Star Sneaker Expo.
Mm.
And that was my first go at creating something other than just flipping some shoes.
Yeah, right.
Now at this time, I'm head of household by state of Indiana for my family. That allowed me to go half day high school. But still get the credit of graduating on time and everything. Mm. And so I would report to like a board and the situation, and they would do like interviews with my mom regularly and like this whole ordeal. But essentially I went half day, almost all of high school, every year besides the first year. Mm. And, you know, I built the trade show, and when I was graduating, a little app came out called StockX. Mm. Everybody knows what that is. That's listening. If you know shoes, you know StockX.
That's right.
And it killed the resale margins, man. Mm. It took the average resale of maybe $100 profit to like 20. Or it's still a game of like, well, StockX prices this. Why are you charging this? Like still today, right? And that was really taking place. Mm-hmm. And manufacturers were moving from in-store releases to app-only releases. Mm. It was just the whole dynamic was changing. Yeah. And so I also got introduced to who is now my business partner, Cody Harvey, at that time. So I'm graduating high school. I'm going through this adversity with the market.
Yeah.
Sisters, you know, coming out of surgery and recovery, starting the everything's looking up.
Yeah.
But then the market with the shoes went to absolute shit. Right. So I meet Cody through a mutual friend, and I was just an arrogant, full of myself shithead at the time, if I'm being really honest.
Yeah.
Like, I thought nobody could tell me anything. I knew everything. Mm-hmm. I had a pocket full of money. I lived on my own. I had two cars. I was Mr. Independent, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I just thought I had the whole world by its nuts. Mm-hmm. And really, I was just, you know, covering myself up in a little bit of success of feeling deep down hopeless and afraid because I had so much brokenness that was coming from. Well, anyways, I meet Cody, and he actually, our relationship started off him leading me to faith. Mm. I really struggled with my faith throughout high school because everything from my dad, my best friend committing suicide freshman year, my sister's cancer, my, you know, broken home from that, you know, through and through. And so I was like, well, if that's, if God is who they say he is, why did he put me through this?
That's probably the most question, your common question that anyone asks about why, if God really exists, why is that?
Why am I going through this? And well, that was me. On top of being an egotistical shithead that thought he knew everything.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And so Cody met me. He was just coming out of his journey going through and getting his degree and to be a preacher and to work in the nonprofit space. So he knows how to break it down, and he really takes me through this exercise and helps me understand the brokenness and how it all comes together. Long story short, he baptizes me in his girlfriend's bathtub. I'm about 100 pounds heavier, okay? So I'm about it's like a whale jumping into a pond, okay?
right.
So water flies over we flood the apartment. Every article of clothing is being used to dry it up. That started the greatest business relationship that I still have today, which is mine and his business partnership, but it started around leading me to faith. And, you know, Cody, he's great with relationships. I'm great at, you know, the follow up and follow through. He's great on the back end, and we just were yin and yang, right? He's really good on this end. I'm really good on this end. I carry great big vision. He's critical and thinks through it. We really just stuck through it. And so our first business together was a digital marketing company. So the shoes are going to shit. I'm getting led to faith. And now here I am starting a digital marketing company. I knew how to build websites. I knew how to do something called Google My Business. Right. And I knew a little bit about SEO. And I had a few connections to be able to outsource some work to the Philippines and to a gentleman up in Traverse City, Michigan. And so we started door knocking, like literally walking in. Is the owner or manager here? Strip malls and like little cutouts of indie, like just grinding it out, doing what we knew how to do. And we would have some splashes of success, you know, $10,000 months and $20,000 months, but nothing super sexy for the amount of work we're putting into
it.
And so I sat down one day, I'm like, every time we build a website, every time we do a GMB listing, whatever the service was, the person comes back and says, what I really wanted was the right conversation with the right person. I really just want good leads.
Leads, man.
Yeah.
Leads.
Yeah. So they want this word leads figured out. It's like the eighth wonder of the world. How do you have good lead flow? Right. And so I sat down and I drew out this concept called Connected on a napkin. And we actually have I found the napkin moving into my new house about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago.
That's like that one movie, Glass Onion. You see that?
Yeah. The napkin's hidden in the picture frame. Well, that's hanging up in our conference room. But I drew it out and I wrote, save time, simplify opportunity. How do I take the complex problem of saving you time to figure out leads, but also giving you the opportunity to create more cash flow or create more partnerships, whatever your goal was. And so I stumbled upon a platform we know as LinkedIn. Right. And that has anybody and everybody on the platform. So 80% of business executives, CEO, all the way down to John that works in HR, has a LinkedIn profile. In the world. And there's no gatekeeper. There's no elaborate, you know, how do I get in touch with this person? You click a button and you send them a message. And so I put all of my energy into mastering LinkedIn. And that became the first product, was automating and enabling users to use LinkedIn efficiently with education and software. And that evolved, Connected 1.0. I got a funny story here. So I was a very scrappy. I didn't raise money. I was I believed that I could do it, figure it out on my own cash, and very prideful and bootstrapping. I found the word bootstrapping. I fell in love with it. I'm like Googling, like, what is SaaS? What is recurring revenue? What is ARR? I'm like Googling all this stuff in the early days. I found this word called bootstrapping. I'm like, dude, that's me. I'm going to bootstrap this thing. And so I took pride in just getting a product that I could sell. Well, this first product, man, was awful, but it worked. Like, it delivered the connection. It delivered the follow-up. It delivered the opportunity to your inbox. And so I would get on Zoom with you. You would say, yep, I want it. We were selling it like $25 a month, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I would take control of Zoom or whatever sharing platform or coach you if you were in Google Meets because you can't take control of the screen.
Yeah.
And I would download a file and have to hard install it into your browser. It looked like I was stealing everything off of your computer.
Yeah.
You've seen all these lines of code up here.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah, freaky stuff.
But
yeah.
then it would pop up on your browser and boom, connected would work.
Mm.
And this basic sequence.
And did you code this yourself?
I wish I could say I coded
every line. Okay.
I did learn basics.
Yeah.
So I knew around and I knew how to explain and framework and architecture and language. Like we could sit here and have a very intelligent conversation together.
Mm-hmm.
But am I going to go into the next office and sit there and bust out your next product? Absolutely not.
Right, right.
So we actually found a partner we brought on by the name of Arpan Shah over in Vadodara, Gujarat, India. And he had just had an exit off of an email platform. And, you know, it was there's a whole backstory on how we even met. It's like introduction over introduction over introduction. But I pitched him the vision. He said, I could build it. He said, I could build it. You know, I need a few months. And that was that first working product. But it gave us a product.
Yeah.
If you give me a product, we're going to figure out how to sell, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah.
Sales runs all through these veins right here. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, we started selling, scaling. I believe within first 4 months, we're over $1 million business. And it was just like, holy cow. Here, you're talking $80,000, $90,000 a month going from making 10 or 20.
Yeah.
Service-based business. You know what the service-based business is like.
Yeah.
It's awful. Every month, you start at zero.
That's right.
It's like, geez, man. Yeah. Now we get some recurring revenue BZ, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so making this passively, I remember seeing my first Stripe recurring payment come through. It's like $25.95.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, we did it.
Yeah.
It's like I split an atom.
Yeah, dude. Right.
And so, you know, Arpan still with us here today, 4 years later. We do have a new structure with USA-focused development, and India is a little bit of back-end. Not to get too into the weeds.
Sure, but right.
He's still in the picture, but he made the first product and followed along on many, many nights of just grinding it out and up late, up early.
Yeah.
Tweak this, tweak that. I would sell all day, onboard all night, and then in between there, I would work with development in India because it's 11-hour time difference.
Right. Now, if you don't mind me asking, how many users have you acquired up to this point today?
Yeah, so I don't know the exact number, but it's over 23,000.
23,000 users.
Yeah.
That's amazing, right? That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how long ago did you launch this?
2018.
Shit, I mean, that's what, like 23,000 users is awesome.
Yeah, you know? So, you know, the company just went through its last valuation at $120 million.
Yeah, wow.
And this year, you know, we're projected to put up a conservative $13 million. I think we're going to land around 15, 16 million.
That's awesome. Wow.
In recurring revenue.
Now, for everyone who knows, like, how old are you?
I'm 25.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, that's what did I not tell you guys, if you're listening to this, I told you, right? So you're getting $100 million plus valuations. You're 25 years old, right?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
And you know, my bigger picture that's evolved over the last 2 years is sales enablement, which is technically the category I fall underneath, is very fragmented. It's a very broken industry.
Yeah.
And so I'm currently on an initiative to do a roll-up strategy of broken softwares. They work in the sense of what they're supposed to do, but it should be in a bigger ecosystem.
Yeah.
So I'm leading a roll-up strategy.
Yeah.
And we're well on our way. I can't go into details.
No, that's fine. Yeah,
publicly on it. But,
yeah, yeah.
I got a great partner behind it.
Yeah.
And I should be able to announce some major headway in the next 6 to 8 months.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Dude, congrats.
The newest product, Connected Reach, that we just launched
last week. Yeah, you were just telling me about this. Yeah.
If you jumped on that platform, you'd understand where we're going in the market. It's it's the first of its kind. Yet to this day, have you been able to have a platform that you can sign on, have your data, have your pipeline management or CRM management, have all of your outreach, emails, phone, text, anything you could desire inside of one platform without having to connect 8 other things. Bring your CRM. We bring everything else. That's Connected Reach. And that's the original vision that was on the napkin in 2018.
Wow. So. Dude, that's awesome. So when does this launch?
It launched last week.
It did.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You could go to connected.io, right?
Excuse me.
No, bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
You go to connectedreach.io right now, mm-hmm. fill out a form. My guys are going to call you like dogs. Mm. They're going to be on you right away.
Right, of course.
But then they're going to explain to you and break it down, mm-hmm. you know, step by step.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so here, listen. There's a lot to unpack here, right? But yeah. I actually want to take this back to the beginning of your story, and let's break this down because we could talk all day about, you know, connected in the company, but actually what I'm actually most curious about is your upbringing, okay? Because mm-hmm. let's be real. You basically lived in a fatherless household.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The stats on that are staggering in regards to not only do people from fatherless households not typically become successful, but it's the opposite of success. Typically, fatherless households almost always, I believe it's like 60 or 70%, as high as that, of the prison population come from fatherless households.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, I'm aware.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what was it about your upbringing that propelled you into entrepreneurship and into, you know, into where you're at today? Because I know the answer to that, but at the same time, you were raised in a crime filled household, mm-hmm. right? You're right. Not only crime filled, but fatherless. Right.
Yeah.
And that's a big question for me because my father is my hero. Right. And I've always had this fascination of like, I don't know what it would be like if I didn't have him. So that's why I want to really understand where your soul's coming from. Like, how was that for you? Tell me about that.
So for me, it sucked. I mean, I can remember broken promise because it wasn't like he was never in touch,
sure.
right? But I remember all the broken promises, him not coming to the games,
yeah.
how that made me feel.
Yeah.
And then I watched him do what he did mm-hmm. during the time that we needed him the most.
Yeah.
And that was like, you know, the biggest fuck you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll never be that guy. I'll never be that husband. I'll never be that father. Mm. And I'll never be in this situation again.
Mm.
And so ultimately, you know, I talk about this on a lot of podcasts. You know, people are like, oh, what's your why, right? My why is to always be able to control my environment at any and all given times. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to create the environment,
yeah,
right?
Right.
So that's what led me into entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that was mm-hmm. at that time. I just knew I did not like sitting on my futon in my little bitty bedroom at, you know, 15 years old, thinking about why me, going through counseling, being prescribed clonopins to cope with it and block the pain.
Yeah.
And in reality, I was like, I'm never going to go through this again. And
yeah.
I will figure out a way.
But let me, I'm going to play devil's advocate here and pick into that. Why didn't you just think, let me go get a solid job? Because my mom had a solid job or why, like, where was it in you that said, let me get a job, let me get a degree, let me get the security for my family?
I got to see financial freedom from my dad.
Interesting.
That is one thing I was able to see.
Financial freedom, even though it was in that, in whatever he's doing, right?
Yeah. It was illegal, uh-huh. but dude, my dad balled. He
yeah.
He'd go to the mall and didn't think twice about spending 20 grand, you know, so he had the Escalades. He had three homes, you know, before he got on heroin and was focused.
Yeah.
My dad had money.
And he also drove it into you that what he's doing is wrong, but you saw at least the hustle and grind.
I seen the other side.
I could see the other side.
Yeah. Like the entrepreneurial DNA came from my dad.
Yes. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Even though it was technically a fatherless home because 10 years out, you know, spotty, and then he died when I'm 21.
Yeah.
Right? I could see some glimmer and glam of what it would be like to be free.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been some incredible studies I've been looking at because this is one of my greatest fascinations is, you know, how do men become men, right? You know, and one of the biggest pieces is boys who are raised will emulate a man that they see. Women don't do this. Boys do. Boys will emulate their life based off of a male figure that they admire. But depending on their ability to kind of reason and differ, you know, right from wrong within those is a completely different story, right? Because you could have honestly said, dude, my dad was a baller. I'm going to go do the same thing. Yeah, I can hustle, grind, right? But you were able to at least have enough intellectual sense to divide one from the other, right? So I guess where I'm going with that is, you know, it's interesting that even though he wasn't around, you still saw it.
Yeah.
You know?
I had some figures growing up that also helped guide me, right? I had my grandfather, hardworking man. He busts his ass every single day, dump truck driver, you know, but he instilled in me hard work always pays off.
Yeah.
You know, I had a childhood best friend, still very good friend of mine, one of my best friends still to this day. His name's Daniel. His dad was also named Daniel. But,
there you go.
You know, Big Danny is what I would call him. He instilled the, like, go build the fence. Don't come in until it's done. Like, I had a couple, you know, figures growing up that I would see this little bit of glimmer of, like, oh, the escalator.
Yeah,
The shit that you like when you're a kid,
of
right?
Of course, yeah.
And then
I still like Escalades.
Same.
Right.
But work your ass off.
Yes.
So I had a great blend of that. And my mom also busted her ass.
Yep.
Even up until my sister getting sick, she would work two jobs, be at every single game, never miss a practice. I mean, was there, Johnny, on the spot.
Yeah.
It's one thing I admire the hell out of my mother. And me and my mom, we're not super close now because she's really weighed down by the past, and I'm trying to help her through that.
Yeah,
she's
right.
weighed down by negativity and negative energy. I'm a big energy guy.
You
so,
can't feel, you can't feel so that in your head, especially where you're going.
I have to take it in small doses.
Yep, right.
But damn it, I love her. You know,
of course. Yeah.
She was a good foundational piece to make sure I didn't admire the coke dealing.
Right. Well, I want to highlight something that you said, and I don't know if you realize that. Obviously, I know what you realize what you said, but I don't know if you realize the detail of what you just mentioned, right? Because we're sitting here talking about what you realized from your father and what you saw, right? But when you said, I'm going through this and I'm going to make sure that I'm never that person.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know, have you ever heard the story, the dichotomy of the hero and the villain?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So I'm just going to mention, so anyone who's listening, you've heard this, but anyone who's listening, I want you guys to listen up to what he's saying and what his story is. Listen to this. The hero and the villain have the exact same story. They both are raised through hell. Right, they're both raised through absolute hell. The villain, usually, if you look at any villain story, they're orphaned, they have a scar on their face, something tragic happened in their life. Same thing with the hero, they're bullied, you know, again, orphaned many times, or you know, some tragedy has happened in their lives. The only difference between the two stories, there's literally only one difference. They both become, you could say, influential or great in their own field, right? Whatever it is, right? They both amass incredible success, let's say, because I don't define greatness unless it's good, right? So they achieve success in their own fields. And it's the exact same story. That's what's crazy. It's the exact same story all the way through except for one decision. And that is the villain says, the world hurt me, so I'm going to hurt it back.
Oh, yeah.
And then the hero says, the world hurt me, and I'm going to make sure that never happens to anybody else.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great summary of that, by the way.
Thank you.
There's a lot of courses on the hero and the villain. You know, a lot of courses on how to make great copy. But dude, that was a great summary.
No, thank you, bro. Appreciate that. But that is exactly what you just highlighted in your story, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know if you realize what you just told me is that when you sat on your bed and you had that thought when you're seeing all the misery around you, that one decision you just told me was the decision that completely changed the trajectory of your life. Because the hustle and the grind you saw was going to happen no matter what. And you could have easily chosen to turn into negative, bitter, which most, by the way, most men or boys do that, especially when they're raised in a father's household or see crime. They go down that path of, well, fuck it. This is who I am. I'm going to do that exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, fuck everybody, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
And a concept that, you know, I just talked about earlier today on another podcast was they brought up this situation and they said, you know, what was the decision? And and I went into it a little bit further on some concept for the listeners, right? A lot of people stay in the comfort zone. That's why they're at where they're at.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone says that. Oh, I'm just comfortable.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But there's two things to get out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in the comfort zone, they look at their past and they compare to where they're at.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? Eliminate the the element of looking back mm-hmm. and using comparison to where you've come from, mm-hmm. right? The trauma, the drama, mm-hmm. leave it in the past. You cannot do anything about the past, right? And then the other element that keeps people in the comfort zone is they don't build real confidence, mm. right? They don't know how to believe in themselves in a way to take the leap, take the step, yep. build the business, take the executive role,
yep.
to be the best salesperson, to yep. be the best husband, whatever your mm-hmm. greatness is, yep. by the way. And I know I've heard you say this on other podcasts. I'm a guy that believes greatness is defined in many ways other than income. I think income is a byproduct of doing great.
Yeah.
Right. So, and so building real confidence, very simple. You know, Ed Milet said it very well. Keep the small promises to yourself.
Power promises.
And just keep yep. the promises to yourself.
Yep.
Right? And so many of us, you know, you say, I'm not going to eat a donut. Mm-hmm. But then the office is bringing in donuts. Mm-hmm. You know, my office does this all the time.
Yeah.
They bring in crumble cookies all the time.
Right, right.
Right?
Bastards.
And I'm like, damn, that sounds yeah. good.
Yep, right.
But, dude, I have the promise that I'm going to be another level of my fitness. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be that once ex pro rider, go ride, you know, semi pro again on mountain bikes, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not eating the fucking cookie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
A lot of people just eat the cookie and they're yeah. like, it's not that big of a deal. It's just one. Mm-hmm. It's just a half. It's just a quarter.
Yes.
Well, subconsciously, what you just accepted was the ability to stay comfortable.
Yeah.
And not push yourself beyond, you know, push yourself outside that limit.
Well, you just, dude, I love this. I love this because here's what people don't understand. The difference between a truth and a lie, okay? Lies cannot exist without truth. They don't exist. Mm-hmm. That means the foundation of everything is truth, right? A lie is nothing but a manipulation of the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a slight variance of the truth. And based on the spectrum of the variance that you take from truth is the severity of the lie.
Yeah.
But a lie cannot exist without there being truth, which means there's truth in all things. There's truth in the lies. You just have to find the truth within the lies, right? Yeah. It's never the other way around. There's every lie is based off of some form of truth. To what extent they've manipulated is the question, right? But what you're saying is so powerful because this is what I talk about this all the time. I want to talk about this more because I usually talk about entrepreneurship, right? And how to make more money and marketing and this. I'm like, you know what? I want to talk about what actually matters a little bit more. Mm-hmm. This is part of the whole rebrand of why I want this to be the Alpha's Creed podcast and all this, because I want to talk to people about what truly changes. And what you're talking about is the difference, because here's what it is. You're saying that one decision, say it's just one donut.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie. It's a lie off of the truth of the promise mm-hmm. you made. And once you keep a promise, you basically created truth.
Yeah.
When you every time you keep promise, you create truth.
You rack
yes.
it up.
Yes. Right.
And a lot of us, there, you know, a lot of people may listen to this and be like, oh, dude, fuck yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this promise. Mm-hmm. Dude, keep one promise.
Yes.
Do it for a month.
Ed calls it a power promise.
Yeah. Right. Just one. Mm-hmm. And then add another one.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, subconsciously, you believe in yourself more.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that you can do it. You can make that extra sales call, or you could do that extra lift or just... The mind is the most powerful object, weapon. I don't know what you want to call it, but it is the most powerful thing on planet Earth.
Yes.
And if you put the right, you know, nutrients and the right thoughts and the right processes into it, you can do anything you really put your mind to.
Yes, right. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Every time you create truth, because every time you keep a promise to yourself, that's what's so crazy about promises. Like when we talk about prayer or meditation, a promise is literally a declaration of something that is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when you promise something and you fulfill that promise, it now becomes fact. It becomes truth. So by keeping a promise, you have created truth. And every time you create truth, or every time you create that, you obtain more light and you obtain more power. That's why when we see that dude who walks in the room and you're going like, okay, you could like, you don't even have to look at him. You just feel like, okay, that's that dude, right?
Yeah.
It appears in their physique. It appears in how they carry themselves. You just feel something about this person. You're like, who the fuck is that? You don't even have to see them. You can feel their presence. It's because that person, that's why we're talking about Ed. When Ed walks in the room, everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. When Tony Robbins walks in the room, everyone fucking knows Tony Robbins is in the room because they feel it. And why do they feel that power? Because they've obtained more light and truth and power in their life by simply keeping promises and establishing the core unmovable confidence within themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, it's so powerful. And, you know, a lot of people think that money, their wife, their business, everything else comes before them.
Yeah.
And that's just the most fucked up thing.
Yep.
You have to come first.
Yes.
You have to take care of your mind, your body, your soul, then your family, then your business or whatever. Just you have to come first.
Yeah.
Till you sort this out, it's going to be really hard to advance down the field.
That's right.
And you may have splashes of success without figuring it out.
Yeah.
But how many guys have you seen pop up and then never hear from them again?
That's right.
It's because something was out of line.
Yeah.
And it didn't start with the core foundation. You know, you can't build a house in sand.
Yeah, right.
Like, it'll eventually fall down.
That's right. Right?
Yep. It may stand up for a year, but it's going to fall.
Yeah.
And so you foundationally have to build yourself and set yourself in concrete.
Mm. Dude, I love this is why I love doing these podcasts, bro, because I love having these kind of conversations, because everyone listening to this, you and me can sit here talk about business strategy, which I kind of want to get into it here in a sec, right? But you know what? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, we could give you the greatest blueprint of a business, which you're talking about a house. I could give you the greatest blueprint of any house that's ever existed, right? And it is solid, right? It's unmovable. But you know what? That shit will still fall if it's built on sand.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the business will fall. It'll all fall if it's built on something that is not strong enough.
You know how many blueprints are out there on how to be successful?
Yeah,
there's millions.
Yeah.
I don't care what you do. Yeah. Google it. Yeah. How to be successful in Google.
Yeah, Boom. Right.
But people don't have the foundation of confidence or self-belief to then execute step one, step two, step three, step four. Don't get me wrong. There's adversity. There's challenges. There's shit that blows up. There's software that breaks. There's fucking clients that leave. Whatever.
Yeah, right. Shit hits the fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are truly built on a strong foundation, you have good core values, you stand behind, you know, a good set of truths that you know is true about yourself, you won't be rocked. You'll be able to get through anything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I teach this all the time, and I want to talk about this kind of stuff more often, but I call it the two C's of success. If you have these two things, and they both start with C, right? The two C's of success, if you have these two things, you'll never, ever fail at whatever you do. Eventually, you will win. And number one is confidence. Mm-hmm. I call it supreme confidence, right? Just that God-given, just like high-level. People will honestly look at it and call it ego sometimes, but they've mislabeled it. It is confidence. It is pride in who you are and what you can accomplish, right? So number one is confidence. The other one's courage, right? Courage. The courage to overcome that fear of becoming who you are, that courage to take that first step and just launch the fucking company, right?
Yeah.
To take on, you know, sometimes it's courage to overcome your own ego. Courage, anytime you get that barrier fear that gets up, and you and me both know, we talk to clients, we talk to business partners, we hear it so often, there's only one thing that could potentially hold you back, and that is fear.
Oh, yeah.
And what is it that holds everybody back is the fear of failure, the fear of, oh, it's risky. I don't want to spend $25. What if it doesn't work? You know, like that kind of shit.
Fear has two meanings. Mm. Face everything and rise, or fuck everything and run.
Mm. I like that.
And you can look at it either way.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
I look at it as face everything and rise, run through it. Mm. You know the difference between a buffalo and a cow when a storm comes by?
Oh, yeah, the buffaloes run into the storm.
Yeah, the cows run away.
That's right.
Right?
The same big bulls, baby.
Yeah. Buffalo, bulls.
Yeah.
I think they both do the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the general concept is what's your mentality towards the situation?
Yeah.
And one thing that helps me is I know where I came from. Mm-hmm. I came from the kid that was sitting on his futon wondering why and telling himself it'll never be like this again. Mm-hmm. I'll never be there again.
Yeah.
So any business challenge, we'll work through it.
Yeah.
We've got a staff of over 100 people, multiple offices. You know, I've acquired now 4 companies, partners in all around the world. If you asked any of them what, you know, why do they follow me? Mm. And it's purely because I stand my core values and that no matter the adversity, we'll work through it, and it's not going to derail us from the overall vision of saving time, simplifying opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep it clear, concise, and I keep it real.
Yeah.
Right? And I walk in there with that confidence, mm-hmm. with that courage to mm-hmm. your two C's.
Yeah.
And no matter what the problem is, we work through it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Sean's sitting in here with this podcast.
Shout out to Sean, by the
way. Yeah, Sean Finnegan with Tax Life. He's one of my largest partnership outside of connected as far as referral partners doing events together.
Yeah.
We have an office together here in Orem, Utah.
Mm.
And we have challenges.
Yeah.
But
right.
The things that we get on the phone, we get on the meeting, and we work through them, we solve them, and mm-hmm. we go at it again. You know, that's just,
yeah.
I love the, confidence and courage. It's,
yeah.
Apply it.
I mean, dude, you know what's funny? Is like, we have challenges, when you say we have challenges, it's like, could you imagine if you didn't?
Yeah.
Like what, in what world? In yeah. what world do you think you're going to go through your life and not experience challenges? And by the way, here's what's crazy. The bigger you go, the bigger the challenges become. And if you think it's amazing that you have 5 people at work in your company, awesome, good for you. Guess what? When you have 100 people working in your company, yeah. that means here's what's crazy. You're paying 100 people's salaries every single year. You're paying their bills, right? If you fail, you fail all of them.
My payroll was double my once dream income every 2 weeks.
Right. Right. Yeah. But dude, that's what is so fascinating when people talk about this. In order to make money in business, you have to solve big problems, right? $1 million businesses are made by solving $1 million problems. $1 billion businesses are made by solving $1 billion problems, which means you are literally living in a space of problem solving.
Yeah.
That means there's constantly problems arising and that's your job.
You know that feeling on Sunday when nothing's really going on. It's like that weird time. It's like 11 a.m.
Yeah.
to like 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. The world's kind of chill.
Yeah.
Don't you just have the uneasy feeling?
Very much.
Because it's like, what challenge?
What's coming up next? Yeah. Because you're used to that quiet before the storm.
I'm used to 12, 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, I am blessed. I'm not in the business 12 to 14 hours a day. I'm on the business.
Sure.
You know, most of the time, but I'm still solving challenges that are just way larger than I ever would imagine solving. And man, that Sunday, everyone listening knows this time frame I'm talking about on Sunday. It's like, you got the itch, man.
Right.
You got the itch. Like, I need to freaking run through a wall.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, because if you sit still, especially with what you've developed.
Drives my wife nuts.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean,
my wife's like, just chill. Just chill,
right? Dude, I start cleaning because I'm like, I got to do something. And it's not like I hate cleaning, right? But it's like, if I start sitting still for too long, I'm like, all right, something's going wrong. Like, it's like, if I sit still, then everything else will crumble. So I must move, you know, I must do something, right?
Must create energy.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do some yoga, right? Yeah. Well, no, this is, dude, I love this. I love where we're going with this. But talk to me about Connected, right? Obviously, you guys have built up a mass 23,000 users. That's incredible. I mean, ClickFunnels themselves, I mean, I think they've got a multi-billion-dollar valuation. They have 100,000 users.
Yeah.
So you're a quarter away there, right? That's phenomenal, right? Obviously, you know, there's obviously, you know, I'm not comparing apples to oranges. They're different, but, but overall, I know you can't say too many things, but what is the vision of where you see this going?
No, I talk about the vision all day. I just can't put specifics on the roll-up.
Yeah,
but,
right.
The overall vision is I never want to be in the CRM game.
Okay.
I want to leave the HubSpots, the Salesforces, the Pipe Drives, the big dogs. I want to let them do what they do.
Sure.
Okay. Everything else should be a one-stop shop.
Mm.
Your lead sourcing, your enrichment, your outreach, your emailing, your calling, your texting, your tracking, your data reporting, your dashboards should all be in one roof.
Mm.
Right now, the average mid-market business of over 10 employees uses 7 to 12 different pieces of technology to drive leads.
Yep.
You should use 2 to 3 max in my vision.
Yep.
Right. And that third being some weird software. Maybe that you want to, AI copywriting. Like
ChatGPT.
Some stuff that you want to throw in there.
Right.
Everything momentum creating should be under one roof at a price point everyone can stomach. Mm-hmm. The average price point on those tech stacks is anywhere from $7,500 mm-hmm. $25,000 to $50,000 just for
all
sign
those,
ins.
Yeah, right.
Logins.
Oh yeah, you start adding up like, okay, I have to pay for this per user. I also have to pay for this per user, and it starts stacking up. Oh, also I have to pay per email and sometimes per funnel, per all this stuff.
And so we're at a price point that's completely disruptive. Not that I'm a, I hate the game of race to zero. Mm-hmm. Not in that game. I'm in the just affordability and being able to address SMB and mid-market. Mm-hmm. So, you know, average $197 a month, and we're doing all the above for you, providing you data. Mm-hmm. And of course, the average spend can go up and down depending on how much data you're using.
Right, of course.
This is the world data. It's expensive. Yep. But compared to thousands a month, tens of thousands a month, and, you know, I just want to be cost effective on saving time, simplifying opportunity, and that you have a one-stop solution for any momentum, sales cadence, anything to generate a new opportunity connected will solve it inside of one solution.
That's awesome. So how big do you think this will get? Because obviously, you know, like LinkedIn's not going anywhere, you know, all this stuff. Are you planning on dipping into other social media platforms for outreach, or are you just strictly sticking to that niche?
Yeah, no, we're going to diversify into other social media platforms. You get some data regulations on the horizon that's going to put face some challenges, but also opportunities. Every challenge in my mind's an opportunity, right? One of the biggest, if you're listening and you're spending money on paid ads, is Google's new policy changing in 2024. Is third-party tracking will now be going away. So therefore, cost of customer acquisition, depending on your industry, is estimated to jump 2 to 10 times.
Wow.
So
you're talking about strictly Google, or do you believe that also trickle into Facebook?
Google's taking that away, but why does that impact Facebook? Well, right now, everyone knows, and it's a hot term, cookies, right? Pixels. You got to have pixels to track, grab the cookies. Well, third-party tracking is cookies. Take the cookies away, your pixel doesn't work, can't follow. Remember when iOS 14 came out?
Yeah.
And it fucked everything up?
Yeah, that's right.
Take that times 10.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen next
2024?
Year. Yes.
I mean, that's where you just have to own your own data. You have to be audience
first-party data.
Yeah, right.
And that's what Connected is.
Gotcha. So you own your data when you're using the, obviously, I mean, you own the data.
You own your data. Yeah. You own your, you also have our first-party database accessible through our cohort.
Yeah.
And you could do all your own outreach and 700 million people inside of our database.
Wow.
That you could be able to control your own end outcomes from. And so, you know, paid ads will always be a thing.
Of course.
I don't think they'll ever go away.
No way.
The reason they're doing that is they're creating their own ad platform. So Google's creating their own ad platform.
Don't they already have one? Isn't that what?
Yeah. But
or is it just me? Just
like
different?
Disrupting Facebook and they're taking away. They want you to spend the money with them, not take the data and then go spend it on Facebook.
Yes, right.
Because like us, like Connected, you know, 10% of budget will go to Google, but then 90% of paid ads will go to Facebook. I use the 10% to get the data to target Facebook, right?
Yeah.
For brand awareness, or whatever the initiative may be.
Sure.
But yet to this day, 73% of net new sales come from our product, not paid ads. So we do eat our own dog food. We do practice what we preach. However, paid ads is just name of the game. It's kind of a necessity in all verticals.
Brand
again,
building.
I don't think it'll ever go away.
No way.
But to be cost effective, to be nimble, to be, you know, efficient in the coming years, you're going to have to get involved with first-party data or Connected.
Yeah.
Right? We're doing a strategic roll-up to where you're going to have a couple players in the space, but we're going to be the most efficient price point.
Yeah, right.
So
awesome, dude.
That's the big vision.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm excited to see where this thing goes, man.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. Sean's watched me for a few years. And he always calls me. He's like, dude, you just going to, like, chill out? Are you ever going to, like, look back and just be like, nah, the mission ain't done, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like we save time, simplify opportunity to an extent right now, but not to the full vision.
Let me ask you this, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here, but do you plan on potentially exiting this company? I would imagine since you're getting valuations, you know?
Yeah, of course. You know, everything has its shelf life, right?
Yeah.
I will exit. I would like to have some sort of board involvement or some sort of string attached, right? Right now, It's not my focus.
Right, right, of course.
I believe if you build good businesses, you'll have a good exit.
Yeah.
So I'm just building a great business with great people, great culture, and ultimately just creating that end vision.
Have you ever thought about what would come next for you after this?
I have a platform that would disrupt insurance. It's
interesting.
Called Pickle.
Pickle?
So, yeah.
You and me will have to talk.
Yeah. So I've got a SaaS platform that I'm an entrepreneur, man. The ideas never stop.
Right.
So I've got a little Google Drive folder that, you know, when I'm flying or whatever, you know, I'm dumping some ideas into the future.
Right, yeah.
But ultimately, my end goal is to run a nonprofit called Showcase Hope. So inner city school kids struggle. The odds of them being financially free, I don't even know what they are now. It's like
awful.
1%. It's like hitting the freaking lottery.
That's right, yeah.
So I want to create a nonprofit that works with inner city schools. They have to go the kids have to apply, like they have to show effort, go through a rigorous process to get into the academy. But I teach them real relationships, real profit, real business, and not focusing on raising money and diluting themselves, but just how to be financially independent. And I want to showcase hope in areas that would not be shown the light.
But
I'll run Connected. I'll run one more tech platform. And then I will do the nonprofit side.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, listen, man, we've covered some good shit on this podcast.
It's been really good.
If there's one thing you'd want to leave this audience with, what would it be?
You know, be relentless. You know, I love the word be relentless. And it's going to be involved in the title of my book that we're working on this year.
Nice.
And you know, what that word really means to me is no matter what's thrown at you, you overcome it. You look in the mirror and it's you versus you every single day. And if as long as you be relentless, and I'll use your two C's and you bring confidence and courage, you will shine.
Yeah.
You will be successful. You will reach whatever the goal you're trying to achieve.
Love it, brother. Dude, love it, man. Love your story. Appreciate it. You've accomplished. It's incredible to see, like, you know, and that's why I'm glad we're connecting, you know, even more, because obviously there's a very few number of us and, you know, and like young entrepreneurs who are doing things. So it's awesome to connect with you even more, brother. Everybody, go follow this man. Obviously, he's already doing incredible things. What's the best way people can get in contact with you? Obviously, Instagram or
Instagram, Devin Allen Johnson, DevinAllen Johnson, all one word. I have a bunch of fake profiles at any given time, so just all one word, two L's, and then LinkedIn, same thing, Devin Allen Johnson. And, of course, connected.io, KENNECTED.io.
We'll connect all these in the link below, by the way. But, yeah, no, I mean, if you guys number one, are in the space of, you know, of LinkedIn and prospecting and, you know, just really any form of sales, so it seems like service-based sales, like this seems like the perfect fit for you. So go check it out. Go follow this guy. He posts incredible content. And, dude, thank you so much for coming on, man.
I appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it, man.